Close Your Eyes, written by Rachel Abbott and read by Lisa Coleman.
Prologue. I'm a bad person. I'm flawed. I'm guilty of greed and envy. I'm selfish, lazy. Try as I might, I don't seem able to improve, and my attempts to atone for my sins are ridiculed. Any moment now, I will be summoned. I will stand alone, clenching and unclenching my fists, listening, as my defects are exposed in all their glory. I feel weak, shaky, maybe because I haven't eaten today, nor did I sleep last night. I was instructed to rehearse my testimony, to be ready to confess to my shortcomings. But sleep is difficult. To sleep is to dream, and I can't bear that. I walk to my bedroom window and look out over the garden. It's been hot for days, and it's a relief to see the first splats of thick, heavy rain hit the glass. I grasp the catch and pull the window open as the squall intensifies, relishing the feel of the cool water on my hot skin. A slow, steady drip from a faulty gutter splashes onto the terrace below, getting faster as the storm escalates, its pace keeping time with my racing heart. I tell myself I shouldn't panic. It's not the first time I've suffered such humiliation, and I doubt it will be the last. It's all part of making me a better person, someone who is worth loving. In truth, I don't deserve anyone's love, and although my every weakness is about to be exposed, dissected, my true sins of betrayal, treachery, and disloyalty will not be mentioned. No one will shout, "Traitor!" or "Judas!" because only two people know what I did, and they will say nothing. They don't need to. I know what I am. Tuesday. Chapter 1. Tom groaned and turned over, trying to ignore the steady buzz that was breaking through his dreams. He'd been up twice with a teething Harry, and it seemed only moments since he'd drifted back to sleep. Exciting as their son's first tooth was, it was also exhausting. So Tom had offered to take care of Harry overnight to give Louisa a good night's rest. Being woken by his vibrating mobile at 3:45 a.m. was the last thing he needed, but he couldn't ignore it. He pushed himself upright, swung his legs out of bed, and took the phone into the bathroom. "Becky, what can I do for you?" he asked, stifling a yawn as he ran a hand through his short, dark, blonde hair. "We've got a body, Tom. Sorry to wake you, but you need to come and take a look." He resisted the urge to sigh. It wasn't Becky's fault, and he didn't suppose she wanted to be up in the middle of the night any more than he did. "You sound like you're outside. Where am I going?" "We're not far from Row Green, down a narrow alley. Head on the motorway towards Worsley. I'll text you the location. Jumbo's here with the team, but we won't move anything until you arrive." "Okay, I'll be with you in about 45 minutes. He took a deep breath and switched on the shower. At least Jumbo, or Dr. Jumoke Osoba, to give him his full title, was the appointed crime scene manager. He had more experience than anyone Tom had ever worked with, and he wasn't afraid to add his own hypotheses to his professional assessment either. Tom switched the shower to cold for the last minute, hoping it would liven him up. He breathed in sharply as the chilly water drenched his body, and dropped his head to watch the rivulets run down his legs and splash onto the tiled floor. Drying himself quickly, he returned to the bedroom and crouched down beside Louisa to kiss her gently on the lips.